KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have partly cloudy skies, 25 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 56 with winds southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. In southwest Iowa news, officials of the Shenandoah Police Department reported on their social media page last night that an in-depth criminal investigation led to the arrest Wednesday of 28-year-old Samantha Danielle Hall, whose place of residence was not listed. Hall was charged with false reporting to a public safety entity, a serious misdemeanor. She was able to post a $1,000 bond and was given an initial appearance date in Page County District Court. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports also that two men were arrested on separate warrants for probation violation Wednesday. Just after 6 p.m., deputies arrested 31-year-old Aaron James Goodman of Moulton, Iowa, on two federal felony counts of probation violation out of Avenues County. He was taken into custody in the 1600 block of Broadway Avenue and brought to the Montgomery County Jail, where the cash bond was set at $10,000. And at around 8:25 p.m. Wednesday, 41-year-old Daniel Elmer Bright of Corning was arrested in the 100 block of West Coolbaugh Street in Red Oak for a probation violation. Adams County Sheriff's deputies assisted in making that arrest. Bright was being held in Montgomery County Jail on a $2,000 cash bond. Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies on Wednesday arrested a man from Henderson. 55-year-old James Scott Malmquist was taken into custody at around 9:35 a.m. on a warrant for violation of probation. His cash bond at Montgomery County Jail was set at $4,000. Elsewhere in state news, a Waterloo man who sent threatening tweets to U.S. Senator Joni Ernst has been convicted by a jury of sending threatening communications. A federal jury in Cedar Rapids reached the verdict for 34-year-old Joseph Hilton Dirks on Wednesday after 5 hours of deliberations. U.S. Attorney Peter Deegan Jr. said evidence showed that Dirks sent Ernst several threatening threats in August, one of which suggested he would shoot her and included a link to a 2010 movie in which a man shoots a woman in the head and kills her. The U.S. Capitol Police contacted the Waterloo Police and officers to Dirk's home, say he was promised to tone it down. Within 24 hours, though, he was sending more threatening tweets to Ernst. He remains in custody and faces up to 15 years in prison. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports deputies responding to a residence in Oakland Monday night arrested a man for domestic assault. Authorities say 59-year-old Michael Todd Donaldson of Oakland was taken into custody a little before 7 p.m. at a residence located in the 300 block of Hill Street in Oakland. A neighbor had called police and reported that a 51-year-old woman came to her home and frantically asked her to dial 911. The woman claims she'd just been assaulted by a man she knows at their residence. Deputies arrived a short time later. The alleged victim suffered apparent minor injuries. Sheriff's officials said also 27-year-old Anthony James Featherstone of Council Bluffs, who was being held at the Pott County Jail on another charge, was served with an arrest warrant Monday afternoon. The warrant was for violation of probation. Featherstone was read the charge against him and then returned to corrections officials. The Shelby County Emergency Management Agency reports a bridge over Silver Creek is currently closed through the winter months. The bridge is located in the 1100 block of 1300th Street, west of 1113 1300th, between Westphalia Township Section 35 and Lincoln Township Section 2. The bridge is being removed and will be replaced with a low water crossing. Area residents and emergency responders should be prepared to find an alternate route to homes and/or businesses in that area. The Iowa Finance Authority and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources recently announced that 26 Iowa communities have received low-interest water quality loans totaling more than $82.8 million through the State Revolving Loan Fund. Among the communities to receive the loans is Shenandoah, which received $833,000 for sewer treatment improvements. State Revolving Loan Fund construction loans are a low-cost construction financing option available for Iowa cities and municipalities for water quality initiatives. Planning and design loans are 0% loans that assist with the first phase of project expenses. The State Revolving Fund has awarded Iowa communities and municipalities with more than $2.8 billion in construction loans and more than $175 million through planning and design loans since the program's inception. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency provides annual capitalization grants to states. Leveraged bonds and loan repayments expand the reach of the federal investment, and more than $3 million in assistance has been leveraged for Iowa water quality projects for every $1 of federal funds. Also, state tax dollars helped to finance the restoration of 22 Iowa lakes, with another 21 lake improvement projects in progress. Iowa Department of Natural Resources Director Chuck Kipp is asking lawmakers to set aside more than $9.5 million so the effort may continue. The state's lake restoration program has moved beyond just simply removing sediment from the lake bottom, a process called dredging, and Gibbs says that's just recycling dirt.
And so we work with partners in order to improve the watershed approach, make sure that the sediment stays, the soil stays and where it's supposed to be, and that's on the land.
Gibbs says the state's natural lakes are intensely used for fishing and recreation.
I think 55 to 56% of the assessed valuation in Guthrie County is homes and businesses around Lake Panorama. You could say the same thing in Clear Lake and some of the others. That's how important it is that we continue to work not only to restore these lakes to where they were, but to prevent the road from being re-contaminated.
A decade ago, 127 publicly owned lakes in Iowa were placed on a list as candidates for restoration efforts. Improving water quality and increasing public use of a lake are the two primary goals of the program. A recent Iowa State University study found at least 6 out of 10 Iowans visit an Iowa lake more than once a year. In the funeral announcements, Mervyn Carney, age 101, of Oakland, died Sunday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Mervyn Carney will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the United Congregational Church in Oakland. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Larry Schwanke, age 76, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Heritage House. Graveside services for Larry Schwanke will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Laura Champlin, age 52, of Atlantic, died Monday. Funeral services for Laura Champlin will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the First Assembly of God in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Terry Wall, age 72, of Benora, died Sunday. Funeral services for Terry Wall will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Benora. Herta Clark, age 90, of Panora, died Tuesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Herta Clark will be held on Monday at 10:30 at the Panora United Methodist Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Larry Edward Buttry, Sr., age 81, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility. Funeral services for Larry Buttry, Sr. will be held on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Harold F. Smith, age 86, of Parker, Texas, died November 17th. Graveside services with full military honors for Harold Smith will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Harlan Cemetery. That's next Wednesday. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.